Area the Addisons.
Let me say this. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be careful and make sure that in everything, man, we are trying to get as close to what the word says as possible.
And we got to understand that with that type of wickedness, man, you know, God does not wink at that. That's judgment.
Promoting truth, wisdom, and empowerment.
And you don't have shades of truth. You have truth or you have error. You have fact or you have fiction.
And now we go into the thick of it.
Uh-oh. Erina Addisons.
On American Family Radio, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And Sherry B is over in Studio CC, so we appreciate her and all the work that she does. Man, yesterday was one of those shows where, Will, I just felt like, oh, come on, man. Oh, come on. I felt like we were just kind of getting into the thick of it, and I wasn't really done. But the time is disrespectful. The clock doesn't stop for you. It doesn't slow down. So we just had to kind of, you know, just say, hey, you know what? We're going to table this, and we'll get right back into it tomorrow. And tomorrow is today, and so here we are. Interestingly enough, let me just say this. I let our children listen to the clip that I'm about to play for you now, which, let me say this. Mm-hmm. If you weren't able to listen to the show yesterday, we are right now in the midst of talking about the problem that is Kanye, right? We often ask these questions, you know, how do we solve a problem like Taylor Swift? How do we solve a problem like this? And so now we're asking, and look, Sherry B just heard, how do you solve a problem like Maria? But come on, here we go. So now we're asking, how do you solve a problem like Kanye West, right? Where Kanye has got these Sunday services that he's having. If you were listening yesterday, you heard us play a clip from his wife. She was on The View last week, and she was talking about these services. They're like a Christian church, and they're very careful to make sure that you understand that this is Christian. It is an opportunity for people to experience God. Mm-hmm. It is Christian. You know, this was something that began as therapy for Kanye, and then now all of a sudden all these people are coming and they're taking the show on the road. I mean, going into mega churches, and it seems like Kanye's preaching. I mean, he doesn't have his nonprofit status, but for all intents and purposes, it's a church over which Kanye West presides. All right, this is a problem. We brought Chance the Rapper into the discussion yesterday because Kanye West credits Chance the Rapper for helping him to kind of rediscover his Christian roots and get back in lockstep with his faith.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is that when we see all of these things happening, we've got to be very careful because these things, in my opinion, and based on what I see in the scriptures, seem to fall squarely into the category of a new doctrine. Look, whenever you try to present, spiritual, and I don't want to lack grace, with Kanye West.
Right.
So I don't want to overly characterize what's happening with him as something that is like New Age mysticism. I don't know that I would even go as far as to say that, but I will say this, it is not anchored by the word of God. It is not rooted in the scriptures. And so whenever you have people who are endeavoring to have this experience where they are in touch with God, but you know, we don't need to get all muddied up and murkied up in the scriptures.
Yeah.
We are just going to connect with God.
That's a problem.
Okay. That's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And a huge flag should go off in people's minds. And that is what we are trying to do. We are trying to sound the alarm. We are trying to warn the body of Christ. Why are we doing this? Because increasingly what you're going to see is you're going to see people defending Kanye West. And what you're going to see is you're going to see a popular congregation of apostates defending apostasy. Mm. That's what you're going to see. You're going to see this among your friends. You're going to hear people saying, well, who are we to judge?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know. Well, we can't make assessments about this. Well, yeah, you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
The Lord has not left you to make it up, to call audible, to just make it up on the fly. The Lord has given you his word whereby you can measure truth. You can know if something is true, if something is real. Certainly, you can recognize a presentation of the gospel when you see one because you know what it is from the word of God.
Yeah.
So yesterday, we didn't finish up with, I played this clip of Chance the Rapper. Again, Chance the Rapper at the end of last year went on this sabbatical where he was going to, you know, learn about his Christian faith. Because he, you know, was introduced to Jesus, but he didn't know a whole lot about his faith, which, as I said yesterday, if you were listening, makes him typical.
Right.
I'm not going to even come down on him hard because that makes him the typical Christian.
Right.
Most Christians cannot defend what they believe. They just believe it.
Right.
So there's that. Anyways, so he said he was going on sabbatical, was going to take a few days and read the Bible and learn about his faith. He was on the Breakfast Club talking about, you know, where he started in the scriptures. And interestingly, he talked about reading Romans, which I'm going to double back to Romans here because it just is wild to me that, because look, let me tell you something, guys. Look, I trust the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I say that, I'm saying I believe that a genuinely converted person who reads the Bible doesn't just read on her own or on his own.
That's right.
I believe that the author of the book is helping you to understand what you're reading.
Amen.
He
yes.
indwells
yes.
you.
Definitely.
So there's a sense of, wait a minute, you're telling me you took a sabbatical and you went to read Paul's letters and you're not sure how to give a reasonable defense for this very basic question. So we're going to play the clip here so that you can hear it again. But let me just also say that I played this clip for our children.
Okay.
Because every now and again, Will, we get these teachable moments, these organic teachable moments, whereby you want to see what your kids understand about their faith. You want to see if they're able to defend their faith. And so let's go ahead and roll this clip. This is Chance the Rapper being interviewed on The Breakfast Club. And he's talking about his sabbatical and what he discovered. But then he gets interrupted with a question from Genesis. Here we go.
We went away and I left all my cigarettes, obviously, at home. And what I did was I read 4 books from the Bible, which isn't a large portion of the Bible percentage, but I had never really read the Bible like mm-hmm. that.
What
like,
books were they? Proverbs, I'm sure, was one.
No, it was mostly New Testament stuff. So it was a lot of the letters from Paul. So like Romans, Ephesians, Galatians, and then the book of James. They're all kind of like not that long, mm-hmm. but they give you like, it's crazy. Like if I would tell anybody if they were trying to read the Bible, like the last thing you want to do is read the Bible front to back. Mm-hmm. And that's probably, I'm probably going to get flack from somebody for saying that, but just saying like, it's really difficult to understand the point of it if you don't like go to the right sections first and mm-hmm. then go back. Because if you go to the beginning of the Bible, it's like a lot of stuff is like, this person was the son of this person and then God sent them to destroy this and then that seed became this person. It's like a lot of like...
Actually, the beginning of the Bible makes no sense if you really put it
in perspective. Yeah, I mean, like you get the... So past the Genesis, past when you get like the creation and all that stuff, like there's like a whole chapter that just tells you the succession of families and kingdoms that fell and raised. And they're literally like one sentence a piece. The sentences will literally say, Isaac was the son of blah, 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 who gave birth to this person. And then the next sentence is this person gave...
But they don't tell us how they got there because you start with Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
But then it says Cain killed Abel and went off and found a wife. How? If it was only Adam and Eve and then Cain and Abel.
I don't know. I think after that they talk about Babylon and a bunch of other cities that were like that got spread apart. Because weren't there like several families that...
But that's what I'm saying. They teach us Adam was the first man. Then uh-huh. Eve was the first woman. Then they had Cain and Abel. Cain kills Abel and just goes on to find a wife. So there was other people and they didn't tell us about them?
I just want to know why, how'd you stop smoking cigarettes? That's what I was just trying to
figure out.
I think he's getting there.
Yeah, I'm bring it all the way around.
Right.
So I don't know that the Bible describes them as the only man and woman. I mm-hmm. think it describes them as the first and that they were in a specific place mm-hmm. that they were then exiled out of. I don't know that it says that when they were exiled that there weren't anybody that wasn't living in paradise that was living in this world. Because the description of the world outside of Eden is basically the world that we live in now.
Now, he starts out okay, mm-hmm. actually, when he says that Adam and Eve, the Bible, gives us an account
yeah.
of Adam and Eve being the first man and woman. This is Chance the Rapper, right? To whom Kanye West credits his coming back to his faith. What I'm saying is that they are both babes, all
yeah,
right? And this
right.
is the point that I'm ultimately making.
And it's not
I want
even
people to understand.
It's not even the thing of, are they Christians or not? We don't know. No, we don't know. But if they are,
yeah.
they're babies.
They're babies, and they need to grow.
Yeah.
And they don't need to be facilitating, quote-unquote, worship services for people. That's what I'm saying.
Right, exactly.
You understand? When the Apostle Paul told Timothy about the qualifications for an overseer, for an elder, I think we ought to take that literal.
Yeah.
I don't think that we ought to be like, well, you know, who can really live up to that? Hey, over here, we all fail. So just let whoever wants to do it, do
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
Kanye's good with music. Why can't he just have a church?
Ugh.
Well, because there are qualifications that
exactly.
we have to be mindful of. But listen, Chance the Rapper starts out, he's kind of like, you know. And I, again, I'm not mocking him, but mm-hmm. I want people to understand how important it is when we say we want people to be in situations where they can present the gospel to other people. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a basic question. This question that Charlamagne has, the host of the show, this question that Charlamagne has is a basic question, and it's not a new question. Mm-hmm. This question was actually popularized during the Snopes trial. In 1925, in this country, the ACLU lawyer actually posed this question because you remember the debate about, can evolution be taught in schools? Is the Bible finally authoritative? Where do we come to rest on all of that? That was his question. That was his gotcha moment during this trial in 1925 in Tennessee, where he asked a question about, where did Cain get his wife? And guess what? The brother on the stand who is defending the authority of the scriptures cannot respond to this ACLU lawyer. And this sweeps the nation, right? And you look back on it and there are seeds of doubt planted in people's hearts because people are like, wait a minute, where did Cain get his wife? So I let our kids listen to this clip today.
Yeah.
And Mariah was the first one. And Mariah said, why is this a problem? She goes, obviously, Cain's wife was one of his sisters, was one of his close relatives. And this is what she said. And I was like, Lord, thank you, Jesus. This is what she said. She said, that is the only reasonable explanation for a defense of what we believe. Mm. There can't be other people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because then we have a problem. And listen to Chance the Rapper. There can't be other people, or as Charlamagne suggested, aliens. There can't be other people, because then we have a problem with the very book that Chance said he took a break to go and read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said he went to read Paul's letters. He went to read Romans. Okay, well, I just happened to flip open Romans. Oh, look at that. My Bible just fell open to Romans. Wow. I'm being facetious. But listen to Romans chapter 5. This is why it's a problem. If there are people outside of Adam and Eve, then we have a faulty gospel account. And the gospel goes all the way back to the beginning. Do you mm-hmm. understand?
That's right.
So we cannot negotiate away any portions of the Old Testament or the New Testament. And certainly if we don't have an answer, we can't just be like, well, you know, yeah, see, that's a problem. I mean, you know, maybe there are those people. Maybe they went out and there was, no. Listen to what the Bible says. This is Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And listen very carefully here. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam
mm-hmm.
to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of the one man's sin. Man, how many times does the Bible have to say that one man?
Mm.
That one man. So here, look, it's a problem for justification if there are other men through whom there was no sin.
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So if they go out from the garden and they just happen upon these people where now,
right.
let's also go back to Genesis, all right? Because this is crazy, right? So a lot of time, what you'll hear people say when they talk about Cain and they talk about his wife, they describe Cain going to this land and taking his wife. Saints of God, that's actually not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. In other words, what I would infer from that mm-hmm. is that Cain left with his wife.
Mm.
He didn't go to this land and then, hey, you, what's up?
Right, right.
Guys, that's what's in the scriptures.
Yeah.
This is not a problem for the believer. We got to be a student of the text. All right, we got to grab the break. Erin Lee Addison's American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Beat that music. Let's go. Man, I done had it. Dude, you can have it. Cats is only going to church to learn to stack the cabbage. Multiple collections, man, the greed is wreaking havoc. Dudes becoming preachers because they want to be living lavish. Man, this is madness. Pastors is savage. Passing the plate just to pass in the maverick. Pass
Welcome back.
Just to pass on the
what? Welcome back. From a
pack that is only those who know.
Let's keep it. I don't know. Do you want to make it an elite
those
group?
People
I don't
in the turban, they know.
It has been so long since I have heard that theme coming back to a segment where we were going to interview someone, and I am enjoying it right now. Welcome back to Aaron the Addisons on American Family Radio. Man. Boy, the day just got brighter. We have a guest in studio with us, and I'm excited. Is he coming back in? Are we done? Going back in. No, I mean, it's
background
fine.
Music. No.
Okay, great. All right, because we don't want to. Yeah. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will, and that's Chosen One with BSAC music.
I know him. I think I got an autograph once on an album or something like that. And then he all grew up, went to college, and you know, got a law degree and. Became some kind of emeritus or other or something somewhere. Man. I don't know. Something he became. Something. Anyway, welcome back to the program. We have in studio with us. Oh, and Sherry B is over in Studio CC as well.
She is.
But we have our friend and brother in the Lord, Abraham Hamilton III. You may have heard of him. He has legal counsel for the American Family Association. He also hosts a little program called the Hamilton Corner. You can hear it weekdays on American Family Radio, 5 to 6 Central p.m., and, you know, he does a little bit of work around the country here and there, you know, just a little bit of, you know, it's not anything you want to get all that bothered with, because it's kind of, no, I'm
everywhere.
Kidding. Let me tell you something. Abraham Hamilton III is also the teaching pastor at our fellowship, and he is our dear brother in the Lord. And we talk a lot about the issues happening in the culture.
Yeah.
And recently, and he presented this on the Hamilton Corner, and it was the first time that I heard it. And he also unpacked it. He taught it at our local fellowship. And I've been mulling it over, Abe, like ever
it's good,
since,
man.
Just thinking about it and feeling the woe that is contained in it. And so I don't know if you coined it, if you gave it a name or anything like that, but I was like, man, I want to talk to you about King Hezekiah disease. Because I feel like it's some kind of syndrome that you unpacked. And I really believe that the Spirit of God has revealed this to you. It's part of the reason why we're always saying hold the line. Like yes. we cannot give up ground to the enemy. And so I wanted to have you unpack that for Aaron the Addisons listeners and then have a conversation around it.
Sure. You want me to just kind of summarize or overview? How do you want to?
However the Lord leads you.
All right. Well, the focal point was King Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20. And you have I cross-reference this account with 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Verses really 24 through 31. Mm-hmm. But it's important to note, first and foremost, that King Hezekiah was the king of Judah from the time period of about 715 BC to 697 BC. Mm-hmm. So this is his monarchy, if you will, ended over 100 years prior to the culmination of the Babylonian exile to where Judah was exiled under Nebuchadnezzar, where Shadrach, or I like to say Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Daniel were exiled to Babylon. The reason why that is important is because of the events that transpire within this particular account. They're over a century before all of these things. So then when you get to the beginning of chapter 20, the chapter begins with Isaiah, who was the prophet God mm-hmm. ordained to confront, to guide, and to minister to Hezekiah throughout his reign. But he's introduced in his interaction with Hezekiah, where the Bible records Hezekiah is being sick, and it's explicit in noting that it was a sickness to the point of death.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so Hezekiah was languishing in what I described as a terminal illness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then that terminal illness is compounded by a visit from the prophet.
Yeah.
And this is Isaiah, the same Isaiah from the book of Isaiah. And in fact, this account in chapter 20 of 2 Kings follows chronologically chapter 66 of Isaiah's book, to where Isaiah comes into the court, assigned by God to tell Hezekiah, hey, by the way, you're about to die. Get your house in order. Mm-hmm. Kind of doesn't fit a lot of people running around calling themselves prophets today. They don't,
right.
Hey, by the way, you're going to die.
Man.
Pass the plate? No. that doesn't happen. And so the Bible then is explicit because Hezekiah is a king whose life was a mixed bag. He had a lot of good points, but he had some bad points, and the bad points were high level bad points. Mm-hmm. You know, the type of bad points that could almost overwhelm the good points, if you will. So Hezekiah begins to recount to the Lord, and the Bible says that Hezekiah turns his face to the Lord and cries out to the Lord in prayer for the Lord to have mercy on him after this proclamation of death has been issued by Isaiah. Clearly, Hezekiah recognized that Isaiah is a prophet of God. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Hezekiah recognized that Isaiah's word was true. Mm-hmm. So then he cried out to the Lord on his own behalf.
Yeah.
Then the Bible explains that Hezekiah was healed, and the Lord grants him 15 more years, an extension of his life, and does so by saying to Isaiah, and the Bible is explicit. I love the details on the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Because Isaiah entered the royal palace complex to confront Hezekiah. And the Bible says before Hezekiah exited the palace court, the Lord told him, go back. Now tell Hezekiah, I've heard his cry and I'll give him 15 more years of life to live. So Hezekiah is excited. He rejoices. And then the immediate next scene in the scripture, the Bible says that the king of Babylon's son heard about Hezekiah's sickness, heard of his sickness, and then sent envoys, which are just messengers, to King Hezekiah along with a present. And when they arrive at King Hezekiah's palace, though they were there because they heard about his sickness, Hezekiah introduces him to his storehouses of wealth, all of his treasures, all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the precious metals and stones, as well as the armory of the Jewish kingdom. So then Isaiah comes back, same Isaiah from the first part of chapter 20. And Isaiah says, man, who are these dudes? Where they come from? What y'all doing them be? And Hezekiah, oh, these are guys from a far country. They came to visit me. Isaiah asked, well, what did you show them? What did they say? He said, well, I showed them everything. Everything in the temple, everything in the complex, everything in my storehouses. And then Isaiah informs Hezekiah, and I'm going to summarize this, that the same people that you've shown here, the nation of Babylon will conquer the Jewish kingdom. Your children, the citizens of Judah, as well as the descendants that are your own offspring, will be, the Bible says, eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. But this disaster won't happen during your lifetime, but it'll happen to your children and your descendants thereafter. And the Bible says, Hezekiah tells Isaiah, the word that you share from the Lord is good. And he thought within his own mind. He didn't say this out loud, but he thought to himself, because it won't happen while I'm alive. In my lifetime, there will be peace and security. But once I'm gone, they're on their own.
Man.
I don't know if you want to jump in.
Man.
No, keep going. I want you to keep going because you're just building up. You're just picking up steam. So because you unpack this and you go through the implications of this. I'll just say this just as a side note. When we can trust the reliability of the word that we understand by way of the Holy Spirit, causing men to write as he carries them along, that we can know what people are thinking, that is revealed to us as we read the scriptures.
Amen. That's one of the wonderful things I love about the word of God. That there are no superfluous details. He reveals that to us for our own understanding and own gleaning. And so in the conversation, in preaching this at church, I said, man, isn't it amazing? It's clear that Hezekiah respected Isaiah as a man of God. It's clear he took the word of God through Isaiah seriously, because the first encounter resulted in him being so convicted, so grieved when his own bacon was on the line that he turns his face to the Lord and cries out to him. Then when the Lord sends an envoy from a foreign kingdom, which at this time Babylon had not yet reached superpower status, then more than likely Babylon saw Judah as a nation that was rocking and rolling, probably had Make Judah Great Again signs going on and things of that nature. And so it more than likely was a diplomatic effort on Babylon's part to curry favor with Judah. And so when Hezekiah got word of that, his true allegiance came to the surface. They came to hear about the sickness, which gave him a great opportunity to introduce this foreign pagan nation to this Yahweh whom the Jews serve, who is even capable of healing from sicknesses to the point of death. Instead of taking advantage of the opportunity to introduce the Babylonians to this God, this Jehovah Rapha, who is the God who heals us, he shows them all of his stuff. Because it's more than likely his stuff. He didn't have his stuff. His stuff had him.
That's right.
He introduced these foreigners to the thing that he had pride in, to the thing that caused his boat to float, to the thing that made him the most excited It was his wealth. It was his jewels. It was his things. And more than likely, in response to these Babylonians want an audience with me, King Hezekiah, mm-hmm. he says, well, let me show them they're worthy to want to seek an audience with me. Mm-hmm. Look at all of these things that I have. Look at how glorious of a king that I am. It's right that you want to come to my court. It's right that you're seeking me out. Look at all of this stuff
that I
have.
Showed off his armory.
Yeah.
Showed off even his armory, his military. I mean, in Psalm 33, a king's not saved by what? His horses
right,
and chariots.
Right.
But that's surely what he's showing off. He's not showing off his God.
Wow.
So then in the height of that display of pride and concluding that this pride consumed Hezekiah is not just an opinion, not just surmising, because the Lord is explicit in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 in saying that Hezekiah was consumed in pride.
Mm-hmm.
He compounds the sinfulness of this pride with this, man, apathy is not a sufficient word that you have a man. And as a father, this struck me because I have children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd put myself on a bomb for my children.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm not going to let something befall my children that I know is coming.
Yeah. Right.
You
right.
know, but when confronted, when this disaster is looming for his children, he skips in his heart.
Right.
Yay.
At least it's not in my day.
At least it's not in my day. And the contrast that I pit, you know, it's the same Isaiah from the beginning who told you he's going to die. How did Hezekiah respond to his own proclamation of doom?
That's
turning
right.
his face to the wall and crying out to the Lord. Now that the same Isaiah, the prophet you respect, has come with another sure word from the Lord concerning the disaster facing your children, you have no response of godly conviction. No, you know God hears prayer and answers because he did it for you personally.
Yeah, yeah.
But now when it's coming to your own children, there's no notation of Isaiah turning his face to the wall yet again, crying out to the Lord who is bountiful in mercy, saying, Lord, spare my children, spare my offspring. He says, yay, at least it won't happen to us.
Mm.
And you know what I said? In many ways, we don't say verbally, but similar to Hezekiah, many in our nation, many churches, many people, we are living out
That's right.
Hezekiah's heart condition
That's right.
to where we're almost content. We see the disaster coming. One of the examples that you use was on marriage. You know, we see the disaster coming. The world, the family is burning down around many of us.
Mm-hmm.
Burning down around many of us. Many of us know the statistics for children not raised with a father and a mother. Many of us know how society crumbles when marriage is no longer the fulcrum. But many of us are content to see the disaster. But, man, it's sure going to be hard for y'all when y'all come up, man. It's not how it was when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made the statement. I don't understand why there is not a response to the Obergefell decision in our day, the same way there was a response to Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, yeah.
The Supreme Court decided Roe, the people of God said, so what? Babies are made in the image of God. So we will fight for them.
Yeah.
But I personally have heard many Christians and even political pundits say, well, I mean, there's no argument there. I mean, the Supreme Court has already decided Roe. And I'm saying, are we living in a day where Hezekiah's father is repeating to where we have people in their hearts saying, that's not how I was when I grew up, but you young folks, y'all gonna have to deal with that on your own.
Mm. Mm. You know,
and
it's so alarming. And I don't always want to write America into Israel's story, and I want to be careful. But when I hear you teach this, and as I think about this, I think of so you've got Babylon coming because of a certain renown of Israel, right? There's a certain renown, and when they get there, there is a deflection. It's not the renown that should be the renown, which is the greatness of our God. But it's hard for me to ignore America's story when I read that and when I hear that taught. It's hard for me to just pretend that we were not a beacon or a city. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where we exported the gospel, where we sent missionaries all around the world. Mm-hmm. But now today, it's like, you know, sort of within the walls of our country. When we talk about, and I want people to understand this, and this is what concerns me, for many people, and this is kind of born in the statistics, when you look at why people voted the way they voted in 2016, Christians, right? The way Christians voted in 2016 was no different than people who don't fear God. And what they were concerned about, number one, was the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So when President Trump was saying, we're going to make America great again, there was no yes, because let's restore the morality to our country. It was, we need to get our economy back in order. We need to secure our borders, right? And I'm trying to, there was another one that made the top three. Healthcare was another one of those issues. Now look, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
The reality is that Hezekiah had all of those things.
That's right.
There was nothing wrong with that. But the reason that the dignitaries came from Babylon was because they heard of the greatness of his God.
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely right. And the it's almost like a footnote. The end of chapter 20, the Lord sovereignly by his grace and the authors as carried along by the Spirit of the Lord highlight in Hezekiah and all his actions as king, the conduit he built, it allowing the irrigation system in Judah to be highlighted and the technological advances. Those are written in the Chronicles of the King. It's not to say that those things didn't exist.
Right. And he did great things.
He did tremendous things on the geopolitical front, if you will, for the nation of Judah. Mm-hmm. But the envoys came because of his sickness.
Yeah.
And Hezekiah diverted them away from the opportunity to author the source of what exalts a nation. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation.
Amen.
He diverted them to his armory and his storehouses. In his treasure houses. And my concern, especially in this day and age that we find ourselves in, that we're not saying it verbally, but according to our actions, many of us are living that disposition. Well, we see the doom that's coming, but we're content to allow it to befall our offspring. Mm-hmm. Instead of, well, make America great again. What does the Bible tell us makes a nation great?
What makes a nation great?
And he tells us sin is a reproach to any people.
That's right.
Yeah.
My concern is that a dullness has set in to such a degree to where we don't even recognize that introducing the envoys to the storehouses, the gold and the silver, is a diversion away from the author of the sickness being ameliorated.
That's right.
That is my concern.
Yeah.
That's right.
Have we lost what truly makes a nation great?
That's right.
The stock market doesn't do it.
Come on.
Military advancement doesn't do it.
De Tocqueville, America's great because she's good. Let's grab the break. We'll be right back. Aaron the Addison, stay close.
Airing the Addisons, promoting truth, wisdom, and empowerment on American Family Radio.
Hey, if you want to talk to us, you can. The phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. You can comment on anything we're talking about today. If you want to talk about King Hezekiah disease as Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst, legal counsel, and the laundryman and the lawnmower man.
You got three jobs.
I got three jobs. And also the host of the Hamilton Corner. Heard weeknights on American Family Radio. You can go to AFR.net, get the podcast for the Hamilton Corner and also the Hamilton Minute. You can also get the podcast for Aaron the Addisons. All you got to do is go to AFR.net. That's where you're starting if you want to learn more about what we do here. 888-589-8840. You can talk to us. We're going to continue the discussion, and Will the Great will let us know when we've got your calls queued up. If you also want to talk about Kanye West, maybe you disagree with us. Maybe you think that we're being extra.
Maybe it won't be the first time.
we're used to it. So you can talk about any of those things yesterday and today if you want. 888-589-8840. Sherry B is standing by to take your call. Abe, I wanted to pick up with the sort of, I guess, how does this look practically when we talk about the selfishness of King Hezekiah, right? Oh, this is good. It's not going to happen to me. You know, so often you hear people almost kind of longing for Mayberry and just kind of content to talk about what it was like when they were growing up, but not really to be looking down the line and to not be vigilant, you know, to sort of think, well, I turned out okay, not understanding the times. What are some of the things that the Lord is showing you about where our culture is right now and, you know,
On the horizon? One of the practical examples, or a couple of them, that to me reflect King Hezekiah disease. it's cool. The often heard refrain, again, I hear this often, I've read it, where there are people who are more than willing to lament the things that are happening with the young people, the way schools are today. Sometimes you hear people saying, oh, well, these things are only happening in those big cities.
Right.
You know, a willingness to sever oneself from the big cities, you know, if the metropolitan areas are the boogeyman.
Right.
Is evidence of either ignorance or denial about what's happening in our smaller towns, in
That's
our rural areas.
That's
Listen, if you think your rural area is immune to wickedness,
come on, man.
Yeah.
Is immune to being enraptured by the seductiveness of the culture, you are either out of touch or you're out of touch and ignorant. Not, and I don't mean that in a pejorative sense. I mean, no. You're simply unaware, or you're in denial.
That's right.
Because these things are happening everywhere.
Right.
With the advent of the interwebs and social media and all of these things, things that you may hear on AFR that you may not have experienced personally, your children know exactly what we're talking about.
That's exactly right.
They
That's
know exactly
right.
what we're talking about. And it reveals a bit of callousness, really, toward your fellow man, if we're willing to say, oh, that's just in San Francisco, that's just in New Orleans, that's just in Baltimore, that's not where I am. And I know every single issue is not the same all over the country, but I'm getting to the overarching heart condition. Is that evidence of us saying, well, that's not like it where I live, that's not like it where I am?
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, it sometimes is almost like a throwaway. Man, you young folk, y'all are doing things and experiencing things. And I'm like, okay. I do know that you had less overt demonstrations of outright rebellion against God's created order, for example, and rejection of marriage. But let's not act like, you know, we didn't have, oh, I don't know, the sexual revolution of the 60s and 70s.
Exactly right.
You
exactly
know, a lot of the stuff we're dealing with has been inherited from the wickedness of days gone by.
That's
my concern is that our hearts beat in synchronization with the Lord's heart, that we don't gain, you know, a spiritual pious superiority complex by horizontal evaluations. You know, I don't have that sin, but I
right.
Let me say this, Abe, and I want to get your take on this. This is my concern, and I you know, right now, and Will says this all the time. The Lord has given our nation a reprieve, right? He says, you know, right now, you know, maybe we'll have four more years of this reprieve, right? This is what we pray for because we understand the wickedness that wants to befall our nation with a different administration, right? My concern right now is that the people of God are not discerning within our proverbial 15 years. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we are not understanding what the Lord is doing. When the American Family Association started as the National Federation of Decency, the call by Brother Don was, hey, you in your home, you turn off your TV. Yes, there are things for us to do on the political landscape. Yes, there are things that we need to watch what's happening in media. But the first call to action, the very first call to action was, hey, parents, you within your home, you stand guard around your children. And I wonder if we're missing that and we're saying, well, somebody else is going to make sure that they don't get close to my kids. Look right now. Look at what President Trump has done in the schools. So we're okay. But my question is, what do we do then after we're okay?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
The Bible said that the world would know that we are Jesus's disciples by the love we display for one another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The willingness to abandon the others, if you will, to the ravishes of a society inundated in rebellion could be evidence of a callousness that reveals a spiritual deficiency. The compassion of the Lord, when it captures you, and notice I didn't say you have compassion, but the compassion of the Lord captures you, you can't turn it off and on like a faucet.
Yeah.
You know, to where your concern is exclusively the ones who are immediately surrounding you. And in response to your question about not discerning the 15 years, I can't forget, this is not ancient history, this is recent history. You know, when former President Obama, the latter part of his second term, issued the transgender mandate that was guidance issued from the Department of Justice and the Department of Education to every public school, public educational entity in the country. That's from K through 12, primary education, middle school, high school, college, graduate, so all the way up. Churches responded in mass.
Yes, yes.
In mass, saying, oh, we will not allow our children to be indoctrinated in the sexual rebellion against God and in identity nomenclature that undercuts the authority of Scripture and pulls the rug from underneath the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked many people, I said, what do you think is going to happen? When there's another Democrat president.
Right.
You know, at that time, you could say you were surprised, but would you be surprised if, oh, I don't know, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, Bernie Sanders,
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
Right.
What do you think they're going to do?
Yeah. Right.
What
That's
do you,
right.
So
We can see the storm clouds coming. We see what's happening.
They're gonna pick up where he left off.
And go further.
But that's right.
Right now, it's like the proverbial frog in the boiling water.
Yeah.
It's just not hot enough yet.
Yeah.
But it's never gonna be hot enough until you're cooking.
Oh, man. Come on. And at that point, it's too late.
At that point,
you're on your way to somebody's plate.
It's dinner.
That's it. Let's do this. Let's squeeze in a few. Okay. Louisiana people love to talk about eating. All kind of, okay. I don't eat frogs. All right. Where do we go first, Will the Great?
We'll go to Miller in Baton Rouge. Hi, Miller.
Hello there. Love your program. I've listened to it since y'all started. I wanted to make a couple of comments, and then I'm originally from up in Meridian, and I went to Ole Miss, played with Archie Manning, football and all that stuff, and I've been in Louisiana since 73.
Okay.
But I was raised Baptist, got made a profession of faith in third grade, but I didn't truly get born again until 1978, when I was 28, and I just say that to say that that's a real problem that we have in America, is that most people do not understand what biblical belief is.
That's right.
They read John 3:16, and they think it's intellectual assent, or mental assent, or intellectual acknowledgement. And after I got saved, I was reading, I go to a church here in Baton Rouge that was started by the Billy Graham team in 1970. But I was reading the King James, what I grew up with. I was like reading Greek, but I started reading the NASB, and I'm reading Matthew 4, where Satan is tempting Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew 4. And I said, Miller, you idiot. That's just the way you believe. Satan's talking to him. He sees him. He knows who he is. But he said, cast yourself off the Temple Mount, and God will send his angels. Well, stupid, Jesus is God. And if so he didn't really believe, he didn't know, he believed intellectually. And that's the way you have most people are today. And I just would comment about what Abe was talking about with Hezekiah. And Mickey, you were saying you don't want to really compare too much with America with that, but there is a strong comparison, because I can only determine historically, biblically, that there's only two nations that were established by the hand of God directly or by his divine providence. That would be Israel and this nation.
Oh, thank you, Miller. I appreciate you calling in. I want to get some of these other callers. I know we've got them waiting. I'm not really sure exactly with the comparison with Jesus and the tempting of the Lord. I'm not sure exactly if I understood what Miller was saying there, but I do agree with him 100% that people don't understand genuine conversion.
Yeah.
And I think that there are a lot of people who wish for people to be saved. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I think there are a lot of people who are just wishing that they're okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and not truly understanding what salvation is, a genuine conversion. Where do we go next, Will the Great?
Going to Roy in North Carolina. Hey, Roy.
How you all doing? I want to say praise the Lord to the three of you, and I won't try to call all three of your names in fear I may mess your names up, but I say praise the Lord to you all there. And I'm calling concerning, I wanted to comment on both subjects there, but I was told to just pick one, and I guess I resorted to King Hezekiah,
okay,
which was in fact the king of Judah there, and I'm blind, by the way, so I couldn't go to the scripture and read them anyway and read it, so I listened to it by audio, and anyway, I think King Hezekiah, you know, he did miss in two areas of opportunity, and of course the mistake he made was showing which he did not know that they was going. I don't think he knew that he was actually showing which is the worst thing you can do is show the enemy your weapons and anything else. So I don't think he really knew that. But the other thing was he missed, and sometimes we do that, he missed a grand opportunity to share with them that what God had done for him.
Yeah, Roy, I think you're absolutely right. And Abe, I think that's the point that you're driving at here.
Yeah, that is the point. And again, this is over a century before Nebuchadnezzar would come and conquer. But nevertheless, it is his revelation of his weapons.
Yeah.
With his refusal to introduce them to the true wielder of his weapons.
Right.
Combined, contributed to the ultimate destruction that he was all too willing to embrace for his offspring, long as it didn't happen during his time.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll agree.
LaVon in Anderson, Texas. Hi, LaVon.
Hi there. Thank you so much. And I could say about 100 things. I'm going to keep it to two. Number one, thank you for what you do. I pray for you and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Number two, it's such a simple answer to where Cain's wife came from. And even for the so-called race issue, which drives me insane, and I shout it at the radio, the TV, and people all the time, well, maybe not in person. Genesis 3:20, Adam named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all
Amen.
The living.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on.
That's good.
LaVon, I think that's a drop the mic moment, yeah, right? Let's punctuate that statement with an exclamation point. Where do we go next, Will the Great?
Pastor Michael in New Orleans. Hey, Pastor Michael.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir. Good. I want to speak on the issue with Kanye West. Where okay. we are here in America, America right now is at a moral, spiritual decline. We as Christian people have left the foundation and the principles of God. That's why we see a moral decline in our ministries. Our wannabe pastors is doing stuff that's not Bible-based. And that's where we are in America. We are in a spiritual, moral decline. And what has happened, we as Christians, all we do is just talk. Nobody is not willing to go and take steps to improve America. And I've been in ministry now, sir. I'm 75 years old. And in my 75 years of ministry, I have all that I have seen is more people just do a lot of talk, but nobody not willing to take a spiritual and a godly stand against anything that would be unjust.
Well, Pastor Michael, thank you so much for calling. I hope that's not true, Pastor Michael. I hope that a huge part of what we do here at the American Family Association is put our words in action. I hope that what we are doing is holding the line, but I think there is something very critical that we're discussing, even within this program, mm-hmm. is that we should each be doing that in our families.
That's right.
That there
That's
is an incredible work for us to do in our families. Where do we hope to get our future politicians?
Right.
They're growing up in somebody's home right now.
That's right.
Right now.
That's
they're
right.
at somebody's table.
That's right.
Abe, what's coming up on the Hamilton Corner later this afternoon?
Speaking about the apathy, we're going to dig into this recent a recent revelation of abortionists who had over 2,000 dead babies' body parts in his home.
I saw it.
When Kermit Gosnell exposed, the baby murderer said it was an isolated incident. When subsequent baby murders were exposed, it was an isolated incident. Folks, it's not an isolated incident.
This is
That's
practice.
Coming up.
This is practice. Make sure y'all tune in just a couple hours away. Until tomorrow, Lord willing.
God bless.